Broadcasting live from Roberta's in Bushwick, Brooklyn, you're listening to HeritageRadioNetwork.com.
I'm a free agent. I can't really talk about the extent of why I'm a free agent, but I could say where I worked before here for the past 13 episodes of The Morning After. You've wondered what the fuck I did for a living and why I talked about food and who I was, but now I'm kind of free to talk about it. About 7 years ago, I worked for Drew Neeporn. I did the operations for Tribeca Grill. I work for Nobu. I opened Corton with Paul Liebrandt. I work with Aaron Sanchez at Centrigo. And at that point, after a few years, I was looking to kind of move on to a sort of different stuff. And I had the opportunity to open a restaurant called Polino's with Chef Nate Appleman. And I did that for a little over 2 years. And that was a fun kind of experience. But now I'm a free agent. I can talk about whatever I want. For example, things I could do now. I'm having the health department on in a few weeks, and hopefully they don't listen, because I will be the advocate for restaurants with this frigging nuisance of the health department that they walk in on a Friday at 9 o'clock at night and try to give people a grade and other stuff. I could just be a little bit more free about where I stand in terms of how I feel about chefs and stuff like that. I mean, of course, I love chefs. I respect them. Other things I wanted to talk about. I have an iPad. I don't know if anybody has an iPad, but there's a bunch of different things. I'm looking forward to the Meatball Shop app. It's not around. I'm sure these guys are in talks about it, but instead of having to write with a highlighter for my thing, I'd love to be able to write on my app and send my order directly into Segundo, who could make my meatballs. Also, a ton of friends in the past 3 months have had kids, and I don't know, I'm 32 years old and I'm still not in that frame of mind, but one of the things that I thought of when I realized that all my friends are having children was an old David Cross clip that from an old thing called It's Not Funny, and I wanted to play that. Here we go, David Cross.
Thank you very much. So look, I don't hate children. I don't know where that came, how that rumor started. I don't know how that rumor started. I don't hate kids. No, but I'm like, you know, I'm getting older-ish now, and I have a lot of friends now. Like about half my friends have kids, and you know, I think that's rude. Yeah. Seriously, and the thing that bothers me is like they're all, you know, they swear, each one of them to a person always swears that, you know, like, oh man, I'm not gonna be like that guy who's gonna bore you with all those stories. I'm, you know, I trust me, man. We know what it was like when Ennis had his kids, and we're not gonna, you know, I'm not gonna do that to you, you know. And they say that absolutely up till the day the baby comes out, and then it's like boom, amnesia, memory erase, you know. Because then they're like, oh, they just start telling you, you know, regaling you with these wonderfully long-winded, boring stories of banal minutia that the kid did, you know. Like, oh, David, you should have seen him. He's great. He's such a funny little guy. I mean, just yesterday, he was staring at this grape. What? I can stare at grapes. I'll stare at grapes with you. Come on. What the fuck happened to our friendship, you know, and I really think it's like our obligation as friends to be brutally honest and be frank with them and say, look, you know, I'm sorry, but your baby is fucking boring. Boring. Okay, kid, what do you got for me? Really? That's what you had yesterday and day before that? Next. All right.
Yeah, that's what it's like to have friends that have kids. About three of my really good friends are having children. But first, I'm going into my main interview. There's a spot that is a lot of things to a lot of people. For me, it's a place that I go to late. For some people, they go on a J-date, perhaps. Some people go there for lunch when I'm walking down the block and I see a line around the block. That place is called The Meatball Shop, and Chef Daniel Holtzman and General Manager, they're both owners, Matt Colcherno, who's on the top of Hunter Mountain right now. I hope you're not on... Hold on, let me pull up the thing. I hope you're not on E-Lift right now, because E-Lift is currently closed on the HunterMountain.com website. Boys, are you here?
I'm actually at the top lodge right now.
And for everyone, that is Michael Cherno and Daniel.
Gentlemen, ladies, good to know you.
Hey, what's up, boys?
What up?
You're at that lodge. That lodge is weird. That lodge is like your what's that? It's that Kubrick movie. That's like that lodge is like The Shining, but there's actually people in the room.
I was actually thinking the same thing when I, you know, I've been snowboarding at this mountain for the last like 15 years. I've never stepped foot into this lodge. It looks a bit like a water tower from the outside.
No, I know, and I know you're
interesting spot.
I know you're a nice Jewish boy. I don't think Seinfeld's playing at the Catskills tonight. I just want to let you know that straight off the bat. But let's get right into the restaurant. I watched. My mom called me last night. She's like, "You gotta put on Channel 13." And I was like, "Why?" She's like, "Michael Colomeco has on the Meatball Shop. Don't you have them on tomorrow?" I said, "Yeah." So I watched the episode, and it was great. I wish you got the whole episode, but on top of the thing, you guys have three locations now. What is that like managing? I don't know which one of you guys wants to take this, but three locations between the both of you guys.
I think the guy that's snowboarding should talk all about what it's like to manage three locations from.
Well, I'll tell you, from the top of Hunter Mountain. No, you know, I think managing three locations at this point in the game has become really well. The overall experience for us, we've hired an amazing team of people, and you know, the only
Segundo
bit of advice. What was that?
Segundo
is a number one. He should be called numero uno instead of Segundo. But, you know, we've hired an amazing squad of guys and gals that really know what they're doing and are 100% totally dedicated to the meatball shop. And it's been a really amazing experience for Dan and I. You know, the first year, you know, Dan and I were nonstop. And now we've been spending a lot of time on working to train up the managers that are actually overseeing each individual store so that Dan and I can work on projects that, you know, are in the expansion and
snowboarding.
No, I really...
Dan's actually extremely jealous and bitter at me right now.
I'm furiously
angry. He's anxious because he thinks his ex-girlfriend's going to walk into Roberta's right now. That's
They've
why
got me
anxious.
In like on display.
We have them on display like a cat on Fifth Avenue or something, a kitten. But that's really a reassuring fact that you guys are comfortable enough to allow your managers to run the restaurant. Does that have something to do with the fact that you guys worked in the business for a while and were micromanaged by a million different people and just sort of hire the right people, or is that just you guys are like prefer skiing?
it's a combination of both. No, I think that Dan and I both have very similar managing, you know, styles. That we don't
screaming
we don't hang
at people?
Over our staff and beat them in the head. You know, we let them make mistakes and we let them learn from their mistakes. And I don't know, Dan, what do you think?
I think that, you know, you can't be in three places at once. So if you want to have three restaurants that are successful, you better trust somebody because otherwise you're going to be just fucked.
And especially in the schedule you guys open. I mean, it's like the 7 day a week. Every place is open. You open for lunch at all spots. When are we going to get breakfast? That's what I want to know.
Meatball breakfast. That's another one from Mike. Why don't you take that one away?
I would be embarrassed to get into a fight with my partner on live radio. But,
No. I really, you know, we're trying. It's the first. Mike, just do me a favor. Even if we're going to fake it, it's the first show since we came back. So, you know, if you can do something to kind of, I know it's not the Jimmy Fallon show, but we can make it work, right?
I think breakfast might be pushing it a bit. Opening up maybe earlier at some point in the next 7 years.
we have the classic. This is the classic front of the house, back of the house debate, which is the front of the house guy wants to do it. The back of the house guy has to actually do it once he says we're going to do it, and then you fight back and forth.
It's the classic. Front of the house, back of the house has been going on since the beginning of the 18th century of the chef versus the guy that's
since Yoina Schimmel threw a knish at Bigby.
No, but you guys, it's weird. I did some research, but you have different backgrounds sort of where you came from. But you're essentially New Yorkers, which I love. I didn't know that about Daniel because I knew Daniel first because I opened Polino's with Nate Appleman, and I remember when we first opened, he said, "Oh, a guy I work with out in California is opening a meatball shop," and myself thinking, you know, I know everything about restaurants. I'm like, "Ah, meatball shop. I don't know. Is that like what else do they serve?" It's like, "No, they're just doing meatballs." And I was like, "Oh, okay." And then turned to a year later, you guys are doing, I don't know, 1,200 covers a day on in the Lower East Side.
A lot of meatballs.
Mazel tov to that. That's what I got to say.
Thanks a lot. L'chaim.
But I want you to stay on the phone. We're going to take a break. Today there's a Facebook Channel 4 Meet the Press questionnaire thing that's going on right now. And I did the same thing with the show. I had some people send me some questions that to ask you guys. We're going to do that in the next segment. So stay on the line. We're going to take a break. The morning after, we're back. Christmas is over. New Year's is over. Get back to reality. Do all your Charles Barkley diets, whatever you need to do. Bye.
Whole Foods Market creates win-win partnerships with our suppliers, and we love to tell their stories. Hot Bread Kitchen is a nonprofit, multi-ethnic bakery and job training program out of Manhattan, whose range of international breads are as impressive as they are authentic. Learn more at hotbreadkitchen.org or visit one of our six Manhattan locations for a taste.
Gotta pull up my Facebook page here to get my the questions. Where are we at here? We're back, morning after. Hold on, here we go. Vito Fisella from Bay Ridge says, and I'll say it how he probably would have said it. Why meatballs?
Why meatballs?
That's the question. Why meatballs?
Well, it kind of came from another concept that Dan and I had originally planned to open up. And we were out looking for a restaurant, and this restaurant had a side window. First of all, the real answer is why meatballs? Why the fuck not? They're delicious and everybody loves them.
Exactly.
That's actually the short answer. But the long answer is that we found a restaurant for another concept that had a little bit like a side window. We wanted to serve something quick, fast, inexpensive, and delicious out of that side window for late night walker buys. And we came up with the idea of meatballs.
Pedestrians.
And, what was that?
Pedestrians.
Pedestrians
or walker buys, whichever.
Walker buys the flat by night diner, you know, we decided that meatballs were what we were going to serve out of the window. We were cooking dinner for potential investors. Everybody loved the meatballs.
And you did this out of your apartment. That fucking apartment's insane, by the way, right? Didn't you do this out of your apartment, the investor?
Yes, the whole kit and caboodle was done at the apartment.
Anyone just do a search on Curb, you can see his apartment.
It's actually sick. If you look in restaurant publications, there are many pictures of him and his dog and his refrigerator.
And his wife.
Yeah.
And his wife.
Yeah. But, yeah, those are the glory days.
All right, let me go into the next question. Hold on. Let me pull up my thing here. Cindy from Mission Hills, Michigan. Michael Cherno, how do you look so relaxed and so good running three restaurants? Question we asked before. I know you're a model on the side or whatever you do on the side, but I don't care. You run three restaurants, you have a busy schedule. How do you look so relaxed? Do you do Bikram yoga? What's the deal?
You know, I am I'm a Zen Buddhist monk as well. So when I'm not meditating and doing levitating Pilates, I'm running a restaurant. So it seems to work out well for me. I don't know, man. I've been working in the industry since I'm 13 years old. It's all shit that I know and love, and I love my job, and I love my business partner, actually. And you know, we have a really good time. Like the meatball shop is a place where people have a lot of fun. Not only people that come in for eating, but everybody that works for the company. You know, I mean, if we had a live feed camera in the office during the day, it'd be like a comedy show. It's amazing. I love it.
Where is that office? I want to do an entire reality show based out of restaurant offices. Is it in the basement on Lower East Side?
No,
it's actually the apartment above.
Oh, is it?
Apartment above on Bedford.
All right, so if anyone wants to get a reservation, just ring that bell. You'll figure
just
it out.
Throw a rock through the window.
But I wanted to talk about Daniel's experience because, and you know, we'll laugh a little bit. He'll make a couple of jokes. But from a person that knows a lot about restaurants, You in the pipe right now? Oh, wait, hold on. Daniel, Daniel has a crazy resume. And one of the people that I noticed that recommended him for a job, and anyone that's a serious restaurant geek, was Jean-Louis. And that's how he went out to California. Daniel, can you talk a little bit about your background in cooking? Because it's amazing.
Yeah, I got my first start working with Michael as delivery boys on the Upper East Side. We were vegan restaurant delivery boys. And Mike was sick. He had a pair of rollerblades. They were Zetro 100s, and he was incredible. No one delivered more vegan
food.
Why
do you always have to bring out the rollerblade thing, Dan?
Whatever.
Because that was huge in the 90s.
He was actually one of his close friends. Actually was a professional. And then I went on. I actually got notice of a close friend of mine. What do you got?
It was you and John in the rollerblades and page
go
six.
Down, and I'm probably gonna do like another 5-10 minutes.
ladies and gentlemen of the audience, who are you with, by the way?
Is that Al?
Yeah, that's Al Dogs. He's staring at me. They just did some illegal stuff, and now they're all staring at me.
Danny, do you want to talk about it at all? I don't care. It was fun.
I worked in fancy restaurants. You know, I worked in mostly French fancy restaurants. I worked in California and New York, and you know, 4-star kind of places. And for me, there was something missing. French food and the technique and fine dining is incredible. Something to learn. For me, the joy wasn't there. You know, enjoying myself every single day at work wasn't there, and working in a rustic place where I get to have a good time and laugh, and it's not the most important thing in the world, and the food is just a little piece of the puzzle, is worth it.
So any piece of shit that just got to the French Culinary Institute or that got a CIA that talks shit about meatball and says they're not doing anything interesting, realize that people come out of a certain background and you never know unless you do the research. So people that want to make jokes about them doing what they're doing, there is a foundation there, and it's based on a friendship that's gone on for, I don't know, 15 years since...
Oh, man, I can turn artichokes
since the first
better.
Season.
All I got to say is, you know, you could talk shit. I can turn artichokes better than you. I just choose not to.
But these guys, when I would say since Ready to Die came out, these guys were doing some really good out. You guys were, was that when you guys were working together?
No, it was before that. It was, no. This was like
this is
Jump
36
Around.
Chambers. This is 36 Chambers. Oh, wait, Jump Around. Sorry. Yeah. Jump Around. We're going to take a break. Michael, thank you. Please don't hurt yourself. I'm sure you guys have a really good insurance plan over there.
yeah, right. Don't you know who I work with? Mr. Jonas Schimmel himself.
Yo, say what's up to Al for me.
But have a good time, man. I know you guys work hard and make jokes, but you know, have a fun. Please come back tomorrow if you can.
Yo, thanks a lot, guys. I want to come in for dinner over at Roberta soon, so let them know that Mikey C is coming through.
Anytime, we'll put it in.
Anything for a free piece of pizza.
We'll put it in an open table right now. All right, we're going to take a break.
They got a meatball.
They got a what? Meatballs? Why? What do you do with the meatballs? They got a spicy meatball morning after. So this is the new year. I don't feel any different. The clanking of you know, I didn't pick the music today, but Jesse did. I don't know what's going on. What is that? What did we hear? Jesse,
Death Cab for Cutie.
Oh, I like that one song when the guy's looking into a pit in his apartment. What's that one song? Jack, do you know?
I have no idea.
It's their one song. Anyway, Laura, we're here. We're back. People looking for jobs. The economy's really tough. Job rate is up, but people still need restaurant jobs. Laura, we're at 86Live.com. Hot job of the week. You are there. Laura Wertz.
Hey, Jason, how are you?
How are you, Laura? It's been so long.
I know. I haven't talked to you in a long time. How are you doing?
Is the website still up?
Yes, the website is still up. We're still getting jobs.
It's been I just say that because it's been that long. It's been 2 weeks, and the rest in the restaurant world that is like I don't know, like 2 years. But what's going on? What's the hot job of the week?
All right, this week's hot job comes from River Park, which is Tom Colicchio's urban farm-to-table restaurant on East 29th Street. They are searching for a service manager. To them, that is someone who, quote, ensures each guest is well looked after from the moment they enter the restaurant until the moment they leave. Ideal candidate will have 3 years of fine dining experience in New York City restaurants and a passion for food, beverage, and service.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
And what have you been doing? Do you have a passion for service?
I have a passion for relaxing. I'm visiting my parents in Pennsylvania, and I'm taking my first couple days off. So,
did you vote for Rick Santorum?
No, and I will not.
Oh, okay. Are you okay? I was just wondering because I was watching that debate this morning, and he brought up Pennsylvania like 100 times, so that's why I kind of brought it up. But I miss you. I just haven't seen you in a long time. I wanted to have you over to the Jersey estate where my parents live, but my mom was having no part of me having people over.
But, threw you out, huh?
What's going on? You 86list.com. If you follow them on Twitter, these people eat out. You know, do you guys? I don't know if you guys own a kitchen in your home, but you guys are out all the time. What's the most recent thing you guys have been doing?
Oh wow! We had an amazing dinner celebrating some friend's birthday
at
a tavern last week, and it was my first experience there, and it is just—it's an amazing space. It's just. It's beautiful. The people there are beautiful, and the food is right up my alley. You know, just like heavy, delicious, straightforward French food. So,
I just googled Minetta Tavern, and that's Keith McNally's restaurant.
It is.
Oh wow, that's awesome! And you had the Cote de Boeuf or whatever that reinterpreted steakhouse thing is. Okay, cool.
We had that. We had the bone marrow. Some pretty rich potatoes, delicious Grand Marnier's, and a chocolate souffle.
Now, Laura Wirtz, I don't know if you know this, but Morning After has about 10,000 hits, according to Patrick Martin. So that's more about 3,000. Going by that, it's probably about 3,000 people. So other than a Keith McNally restaurant or somebody big, whoever it is, maybe Tom Colicchio and Meatball Shop, which I love, go there any time of the day. But is there a spot that you would recommend for the year for somebody to try out that's listening to the show that's not really in the loop?
So, well, you know, one of my favorite spots is Northern Spy Food Company.
Oh, wow. We're in real San Francisco right now.
I was there yesterday.
Yeah. Christoph and Daniel work together. I don't know if you've been listening to the show. I know.
Oh, okay. No, I can't listen here. I don't have good enough internet here in Pennsylvania.
Oh, yes. We didn't. Obama is whoever was actually in the debate, they're talking about a global internet. So don't worry, next 4 years we'll have an internet in Pennsylvania. But if you did...
That's good news.
go on, what were you saying?
Oh, I mean, I just love that space. I think it's a great space. The food is great. It's just like a nice, comforting, like delicious meal. That's one of the places that I really like to go to, and I just want like a nice, comfortable, and like wonderful space. It's like, it's a nice, intimate space where you can have a nice, relaxing dinner. I just really like it, and the food's great. It's inspired, and it's fresh and seasonal, and I like it a lot.
Thank you, Laura Wirtz. I will talk to you next week. Remember, we're back on the horn, so you got to, you know, we need to get the wheels rolling on everything.
That's right. 86list.com. Vacation time is over.
Thanks again. We'll talk next week. 86list.com. Laura Wirtz. I have a few people, actually a couple of people, but it seems like a few people because they have like one instrument that can do like 30 different tracks. But before I go into them, I wanted to play a clip from the Burger Bash this summer, with a chef, Mark Forgio, when I asked him a question about, who would win in a fight, Drew Nieporn or David, Boulay. Let me go into that right now.
Can you introduce me about yourself?
Sure. My name is Marc Forgione.
Yeah.
You know?
And you're from?
I'm from restaurant Marc Forgione.
Yep. Yeah.
You know? And I'm hanging out here at the Burger Bash, having a good time. And
how was your night?
My night was good. I finished second place in the judging.
Uh-huh.
And,
absolutely.
You know?
Congratulations.
There's only one more place better than that.
Uh-huh.
Obviously, I would have loved that place, but it didn't happen. So,
Chef, can I ask you a question?
Sure.
If Drew Nieporn and David Boulay were in a fight, who would win?
David Boulay is like sneaky. I feel like he's like a ninja.
100%. How do you? I love the restaurant on, I think it's Reed Street, right?
Yep.
What is the perception since you guys have been open after the show?
I mean, we were doing all right before the show, but I think the coolest thing about after the show is people trust me more, so I can do more quote unquote chefy things, and you know, I can use offal and quote unquote expensive ingredients, and you know, people trust me now because they see me on TV.
Well, that was Mark Forgione, chef. And I think that's... Oh, what do we got, a replay there? Oh, that's me, actually. That's my thing. Sorry, that's my fault. I'm here, and I'm going to talk to Matthew Conway. Matthew, we're recently friends on Facebook.
Yes, we are, as of today.
Let's get his mic up, guys. Oh, Matthew, we're recently friends on Facebook.
Yes, as of today.
Thank you for accepting my friend request.
Anything for
No,
you.
I really appreciate it. No, so you are the...
Officially friends.
Can you debunk any people that I'm out to dinner with, and can you say the word sommelier properly for anyone that's listening? Because I feel it's the most bastardized word at a dinner conversation.
Glorified server in a suit.
No, but can you actually... Exactly, but can you say the word sommelier? Like, how is it pronounced?
Cause people sommelier.
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 Can you do a French accent?
Sommelier.
Sommelier.
And is that Forgione?
Mark Forgione, correct, yes.
And I'd rather go into chef and stuff like that, but let's talk about the list, because I looked a little bit. It's a lot of French whites. I see a lot of Spanish, a lot of Italian stuff on there. Is that your stuff, or is it your kind of... half and half, or...
Well, let's start with the fact that I'm here today because Mark's watching football. New York Giants fan, go Big Blue for
thank
Chef
you,
Forgione.
Thank you for bringing it up, because whether it's Drew Nieporn or any other restaurant person in New York, having the show on Sunday is bullshit for about 4 months because everyone gives you the football excuse, so...
Mark works nonstop until a football game comes on.
Giants are up 24-2.
Nice.
That's great. And then they win the Super Bowl after that, Jack? Or is that...
No.
Oh, okay.
No.
Okay.
But going back to the list, we just try to keep it real. Chef, you know, seasonal food coming out constantly, changing, you know, weekly, daily. And we try to keep the list just as fresh. A lot of people like to change their wines by the glass, you know, weekly or monthly. We try to change our, you know, bottle list constantly. It's a short list, but it's always changing. It leans, you know, old world, but we just try to keep it real as far as... You know, true small production stuff that's fan friendly, quirky, interesting, but most importantly, food friendly.
And when people come to the table and are usually they feel intimidated by you, by the list and stuff like that. Are there any things that you would say to it?
Do I look intimidating? Come on,
you would in a Brioni suit or in a nice tailored suit. I would might be intimidated.
I'm like a teddy bear.
But no, you know, you go into a place and it's sort of like, it's the wine world, it's like the art world, it's sort of like all this information out there and who controls it and who puts it out there, and then people go out and they want to have a good time, they don't want to spend too much money. How do you engage the customer?
We try to take the pretension out of everything we do. We don't have tablecloths, as Chef would say, fine dining without all the bullshit. You know, we give you what a 4-star restaurant will give you without tablecloths, without the pretension, without the stuffiness. And, you know, a lot of that staff training, knowledge, knowing what we're doing, how to approach people. It's a people business. If you can, you know, make some eye contact and get into people, you usually start off on the right foot, and then everything after that is easy.
Oh, how does someone get the title? Sommelierai.
Oh, there's different ways to become a sommelier. I went to the American Sommelier Association
ASA.
Here in New York. Yes,
okay.
Correct.
I'm a member, too. I did the Viticulture basic course.
Very well.
I'm a fan, not a member.
It's good. But there's all different types of way. I mean, some people just, you know, earn their bones working the floor long enough. You know, I think some of the greatest sommeliers in New York have gone about it without any official, you know, certificate. But there's lots of ways to become a sommelier.
Belinda Chang, only because she...
Going to dinner at her house tonight. Everybody's invited.
Nice.
Is that Belinda's?
Yeah.
Isn't her party next Saturday?
Is that next Saturday?
It's next Saturday.
Shucks.
I think.
Bummer.
But no, who's a, when you say people that you look up to, like if you have your day off, and usually a power player at New York City restaurants or restaurants you have off Sunday, Monday, or Monday, Tuesday, if you have those days off and you go out to eat and you have some money, some change in your pocket, what are places that you visit for the wine selection?
Oh, that's a crazy question. I like to go, I follow food a little bit more than I follow wine because I can, you know, drink two buck chuck if necessary. So I follow food a little bit more. So it just really depends on what's hot, you know, meatball shop, get
so,
down.
So hot right now. So hot right now.
Yeah.
Just, we just got a Yelp review that said the meatballs were lukewarm.
Just not so hot.
Literally so hot. But other than meatball, just pick a spot because a lot of people listen to it that aren't in the industry and like to just hear places that we go to. I mean,
like I said,
I go to Sun Luck on Fifth Avenue. For
I
Chinese.
Stick downtown. I live above Terroir, so
oh.
I hit up some Terroir if I'm looking for wine, but Northern Spy Company is a block from my apartment. I just had dinner there last week, so that's something I'll frequent because it's close. I love Peasant. Peasant's one of my favorite restaurants if you just want a real deal, hardcore meal. But I'll go anywhere where the food's hot.
You know what? That's the third time that this restaurant has come up. Christoph Hill does an amazing job over there, and he is over on Twitter. He's recently a father, so on top of being a dad and having a restaurant and doing all that stuff, that restaurant is definitely a place that people
solid.
Should check out and buy.
No bullshit food.
New chef. Recently a
new chef.
Yeah, doing a great job.
What, do you know his name?
I met him yesterday. You're going to put me in a really bad position.
No, it's okay.
No idea.
Some
Padley Schmidt, I think.
Oh, wait. It's Padley Schmidt. You're right.
Yeah.
Hadley
Schmidt.
The Hadley little birdie Schmidt. In the tree gave us that one.
Oh, sorry. The guy that has Google in front of him knows the name. I apologize. the morning after, we've been doing something recently since Jesse has become the producer. We've been sort of putting a music element, but there's a big part of the restaurant industry that that people work in it, and they're artists, and they people will come into the restaurant and ask people what they do, and it's like the most derogatory thing. But I'll say this: if you go out to eat to dinner, everyone in the restaurant, 90% of them. Does something else with their actors or artists and stuff like that. And then there's the core people, usually in management stuff. We have a guest in here today. Matthew, what is your connection to our guest in here today?
Iggy Dean, who I'm here to support today. She is a former employee of mine that I hired from a recommendation from a mutual friend a little over 3 years ago.
My first day in New York.
First day in New York. Started that night, put the boots on, and got to work. She worked for us when times were not good because as glory as everything is now, at the time we were a struggling restaurant in a bad economy, and Miss Sandwald really stuck with us through some hard times, became part of the family, and has blossomed into an incredible musician. I've seen her live several times, which honestly, that's why I thought I was here for a concert. So I guess the radio gig's a little bonus.
This is a concert. But can I call you Iggy?
You can call me whatever you want, but Iggy works, yeah.
Okay. And your official title is Lindsay Sandwald.
The birth name is Lindsay Sandwald, that's right.
Okay, my birth name is Jason Kalucci. But
I love it.
Yeah, but I don't go by that. I go by usually Carte Blanche, which is my hip-hop name.
Nice.
Are you going to rap later?
No, but if you listen to episode 9, you can hear one of my songs. I wanted to have you in. I'm really excited to have you in. You are actually doing another radio show this morning, and you came in.
That's right, yeah.
Where were you?
3 hours of sleep. I was in Jersey City at 6 a.m. doing WFMU earlier today.
Usually I'm in Jersey City, but it's usually by Percocet.
Oh, yes. Well, they have a wonderful economy for a whole variety of things you can perk up on.
Exactly. And then you came in here this morning and
I did, yeah.
You have what it looks like that guitar Ralph Macchio played in Crossroads. It's like a blues guitar. And you have a ton of mixers and
knobs and colors and lights.
And you're by yourself. There's That's no right. roadies here. You know, your girlfriend is here to help you out and support you.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to take a break and we're going to come back. We're going to talk for 2 seconds and we're going to go back into your recent song. And this is a Morning After exclusive. What is the song we're going to go into?
Show Me All the Sounds You Know.
Show Me All the Sounds You Know coming out Morning After when we come back.
This weather, but now I'd walk through this. It's just
We're back. We're back. I'm holding in my hand a postcard about age. Oop. Oh, wait a second. Oh, that's Amy Dean. She's tuning up. Are you going to be tuning up while we're...
No, I'm good. You can go right ahead.
Okay, cool. 2012 tour fundraiser. You can talk about it, please.
Yeah, so actually the reason Matt and I are here, Matt and I are both throwing an event this Thursday. I just came out with an album in August called Heart and Lung. It's my first debut official release. And I'm finally escaping from New York and going on tour this winter. And... been a restaurant person my whole life, worked at Mark Forgione, currently at the Harrison, worked in San Francisco for a bit, but restaurants subsidize rent, not music. So we're throwing a fundraiser. Mark Forgione's doing the food. Bulldog Gin is sponsoring.
Bulldog Gin.
Spanish Vines is providing the vino, yeah. And there's going to be all sorts of free food and drink and live music in a private residence. That's this Thursday.
And if people want to go online, they have to purchase tickets at...
Indiegogo.com/IggyDean on tour, but it's probably easier just to go to IggyDean.com, IDGYDean.com, and that ends this Thursday, the fundraising campaign.
And other than the amazing music you'll get, is actually complimentary food from Mark Forgione.
He'll be there making suck you sliders.
That's right.
And also Bulldog Gin is probably doing some kind of a cocktail.
Yeah, my mixologist Robert Crossan's doing his custom cocktail.
And I love gin.
So do I.
Especially on Thursday, between 6 and 9. And
Friday, Saturday,
and
Sunday.
I went on, when Jesse emailed me your thing, I went on iTunes and I downloaded a couple of songs. One of them being, was Lung?
Yeah, Lung is the title track on the new record.
My favorite track.
Heart and Lung.
My niece Ashley, who's a big Gin Atari fan, please go on iTunes and download Lung. You'll like that song as well. And we're going to take 2 seconds. We're going to go right into your song. This is an exclusive, The Morning After.
Yeah, this is a new single just recorded. It's called Show Me All the Sounds You Know. It's coming out in about a week.
Thank you very much. Here we are. Wow. I'm gonna. You know, I love that. I just want to do the show over that track. Will you be performing that song when we come? When?
Oh yes, definitely on Thursday. And Thursday, the 12th, 6 to 9, Tribeca.
At Tribeca,
28 Late Street.
And at 6 o'clock it starts?
It's 6 to 9, a really fancy cocktail hour. It's going to be really super cool. And then I'm leaving for tour the end of January, starting in the South, heading to Texas, then the West Coast.
Awesome.
Where do we get tickets?
You can go to the addresses on that flyer. It's indiegogo.com/IggyDean on tour- in between all those words, or just very simply, IggyDean.com.
IggyDean.com.
Perfect.
How much are tickets?
$45 for general admission, which again, 3 hours of free food and booze. Yeah.
And you get to hear you play?
And hear me play.
That was incredible.
Yeah.
Thank you. And I'm first and foremost a drummer, so this was like a pared down. It's much.
I felt like Prince was in here.
You just did that whole thing by yourself front of us.
Well, I have Jenna Tari, my rapper girlfriend, to thank. She gave me a lesson in beatboxing.
Yeah, but if you were listening, you would have thought there was like a band. Yeah.
And a mixer and Timbaland here. I mean, there was one person in here.
And you
one
did it with woman. No shoes on.
I have to.
She's in socks.
Nuance of the toes.
That was incredible.
But yeah, that's why I don't do acoustic, because it's just not right.
Impossible.
Yeah, this is much better, and it's even much, much better when I have my drums, because I'm a drummer first and foremost.
Holy shit.
But
next time, come in and play some drums.
I would love to.
But thank you. I want to thank all my guests today for coming. This is the morning after. We have an interesting season coming up. I mean, whether it's the health department or Ariane Dagoff from D'Artagnan, and all of my future restaurant. Actually, I want to bring up one thing here today. I have a big thing. I watched Eddie Wong's show on the Cooking Channel. It was interesting to say the most. I wanted to thank him one for his friendship, and two, actually the show is it's different. It's kind of like Tony Bourdain's show, and also like a food retrospective going around the country. I don't know if it's premiered yet, but I saw the first episode, and he travels around a little bit. He's got an interesting. And if you grew up in the late 80s and early 90s, he has an interesting humor that the jokes really work in that context. Eater put out the 12 New York pizzas to eat before you die. Check that out. I don't know if you agree with those choices, but I always feel Lee's Tavern from Staten Island should be in there. And also, there was an interesting thing I just wanted to bring up quickly. When you go into a restaurant and your bartender, and there's like 25 people at the bar, sometimes they put in a description of who you are, and sometimes it might be a derogatory thing, and you might not like to see it, and they forget to erase it. I remember a few years ago, there was a thing called somebody put in a Jewish couple and on their receipt, a Jewish couple got it. It's like, oh, how do you know I'm a Jewish couple? Yada, yada, yada. Well, recently somebody on a Papa John's receipt put, what does it say? Lady Chinky Eye. Put that on a receipt. And actually this woman who is in PR got the receipt and has been retweeting. I don't know if there's any suing or anything like that. But it's one of the little behind the scenes
things. Was she Jewish or was that...
Maybe she had pink eye and it was
on,
a typo
on her mother's side, on her dad's side, so she couldn't, she wasn't officially. So that's one of the funny things, behind the scenes in restaurants. Actually, I think Micros might have eliminated that feature at this point. There's just like a bar association when you sit down somewhere. You can go on Jason Colucci, the Jason Colucci on Twitter. Ideas for guests. I'm open for anything, but I'm really excited about this season. We're doing the reality television show called Corporate Pie. The first show should be coming out in a few weeks. And thanks again, Jack. Everyone back New Year's Eve, Jesse. The morning after. We'll see you next Sunday. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to this program on the Heritage Radio Network. You can find all of our archived programs on heritageradionetwork.com, as well as a schedule of upcoming live shows. You can also podcast all of our programs on iTunes by searching Heritage Radio Network in the iTunes Store. You can find us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter for up-to-date news and information. Thanks for listening.